I'd like to call the May 2nd, 2019, meeting of the South Kingston Historic District Commission to order. It's 5:30 p.m. Peter Noon's present. Karen DeSilva is not coming. Jim Garfield apparently is late. Carolyn Griswold.
Here.
Linda Stedman.
Here.
Here.
Jim Garfield is here. Rich Youngkin.
Here.
And Andrew is going to be late. Short minutes from the last meeting. You have any discussion of those? Hearing none, will someone
make a motion to approve them?
Second.
Did someone second?
Yeah,
who made the motion?
Who made the motion?
Oh, you did. Well, thank you. How nice. On to new business. A certificate of appropriateness for 40 Potter Lane. Proposed installation of storm windows on the existing main house and cottage. And proposed removal of an existing shed. So.
That's not me.
That's me.
Well, that's you. Well, can you identify yourself, please, and tell us a little bit about the project?
Sure. I'm Jill Buckley, and my husband, Chuck, and I just bought the property in September. And we, we knew we were dealing with really old windows, but, you know, after getting through the first winter, we realized, you know, not only for the windows preservation, but for heat preservation, maybe we need to do something. So we started talking to people, and someone proposed this, you know, this as a solution. And so we're just trying to find the best solution.
Good exterior storm windows will go a long way to do what you want
to
do.
I work in Newport. I know they're all over Newport. So, I mean, I don't love them personally, but for my husband and I's sake, I think mostly for his, he was looking for a solution better than what we, you know, the hanging, which is what we did this winter.
Yeah. And you mentioned that they're bronze. Is that the color?
Yeah.
They're not really made of bronze.
No, it's just to match with the house. Yeah. Yeah. I don't love them, really, and I'm looking for any other ideas that you might have to offer also.
You don't have a picture of what they look like, do you?
No, they're pretty standard as far as what I think is offered in the aluminum.
It's just a one-over-one light.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
So I have a question. You had, I guess over the years, you had a wooden storm sash that were on tabs.
Yeah.
And they are traditionally removed.
The McBurneys haven't removed them for several years. They had just affixed ones and then they had AC units in certain windows, and that's how they were living. But we ended up taking out all the AC units, and we put up all the storm windows this winter.
Uh-huh.
And they function, you know, they're pretty neat. I love them, actually, but just for heat loss. And I did also think about just preserving the actual windows and making them more functional for us, because I like fresh air. So the idea is we'd be able to put up the old window once in the spring and then just move the screens in storms, depending on rain,
mm-hmm.
all summer, and then just put them down, once in the fall, late fall. And then we're only opening and closing the actual old windows, because they are very old, and not all of them are functioning really well. And I think our only other option is to replace every window, which... I don't know what other options there are, and I'm really open to other options, ideas.
Well, there is an interior storm sash that sort of clips on the inside, and there are more than several different manufacturers of those, but they don't really protect the outside of the window.
Yeah.
And I can see that you have some very good historic windows, and they have the glazing, the historic glazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I went out to the property today and looked at it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did. that was great.
So it, you know, and this house is one of the more significant Kingston houses. So the interior storm sash is just an option, but I think some of them come with movable parts, so you can. But you still have to open the exterior window.
Yeah.
So maybe for your purpose, the exterior triple track storm sash that you're thinking of is a good alternative. What had you thought about the color of the? It's the house is primarily brown.
Yeah.
All of the trim color.
Yeah.
The window sash color.
Right.
So the bronze is
to
match that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty close match. It's not perfect, but I heard that you can paint them as well. So if we, wanted to try to get it perfect, or we could do that.
Right.
But that seems like a pain.
I wonder if you can order them. To match the color, trim color.
Yeah. I'm sure we could, but the bronze is so close it would be almost like crazy to, do a custom color.
Yeah.
But, the look, what I don't like about the look is that I feel like it just takes away from the window, which is so gorgeous, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But from a preservation point of view, I actually think it'll be better for the window in the long run,
It'll save the glazing.
Yeah.
I have an 18th century house in Bristol, and I've installed interior storm windows on the front so that you can see the sash from the road.
Oh, that's interesting.
And a triple track on the rest of the building. The problem with the interior storm windows, which are great, they're really, really tight, they do have to be taped. They're held in with magnets. No air infiltration or exfiltration. They're pretty amazing. But they do have to be, if you're going to use an air conditioner in one of those windows, you do have to take them out, even to open the window.
Mm. Yeah.
There's no way to, I'm not sure about.
And we're probably not going to do the units.
Yeah.
Because they're just an eyesore, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an alternative, too,
is to
maintain the view of the front facade from South Road with nice old sash, and you wouldn't be able to see the storms. But put interior storms in. And then just leave them in, possibly. And if there's no reason to take them out. In the building in Bristol, the tenant is a dentist, and he takes one out every summer so he can open the window, but leaves the other one in. So yeah, they are flexible.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fairly easy to remove, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It takes just to go peel right off. Just another idea.
That is a great idea. I didn't know that existed. I've lived in an older house, but not this old.
They cost about the same. They're much simpler than triple track windows, yet they cost about the same.
Okay.
They're expensive. $250 a window, I think, for this job over there.
Okay.
The early five windows, but wasn't terrible. Hmm.
So tell us about the shed.
Well, the shed is becoming an issue between my husband and I, because he would like to take it down and I would like to keep it. So you guys have to settle a little argument.
How old is it? Do you know?
We don't know, and I was so glad Richard came out today, because I don't really know. The McBurneys had guesses about the place, because there is some wood flooring in there that's going in two different directions, and she was guessing it was a
outhouse,
but that seems, it's very large. We were discussing that. It must have been a communal outhouse if it really was an outhouse.
For 10 people.
And it's really weird the way it abuts the existing house. We're trying to figure out, it's like about an inch away from the existing house. And so the thought was maybe it had been moved there at some point, but I don't know anything. And I don't think the McBurneys know much. So, Richard, you thought it was 19th century, you said?
Yeah, I think it's possible with the way it's constructed inside. It doesn't have a 20th century framing system. It seems like a 19th century framing system with sawn pieces, but not your typical stud wall that you would have in a contemporary or a 20th century building. The pictures don't show it. Well, they kind of show this picture here, sort of shows the side of it, and it is directly in contact with, well, it's about that far. It's like 2 inches away from the other building. And what's interesting about the other building, the end of it, is that it's shingled, and the shingles exist in that space. So, you wouldn't have, and they don't seem to be, well, they're probably as old as the other shingles, but it just seems like that chink must have been shingled, obviously, before this was there, right? Because you there's no other way you could shingle it.
Right.
Oh, is
right.
that close?
It's that close.
Oh, wow. Like you couldn't yeah. swing yeah. a hammer.
No,
a hammer
you could not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very close. So that leads you to believe that, that one building may have been moved to this the shed, this shingled shed must have been moved up against the back of the house to in its location and its purpose. It could have been a utility shed, it could have been a woodshed perhaps, although there's no evidence, real evidence of that left.
Is it on any kind of foundation or just blocks?
It's on a stone foundation, a rubble stone foundation with some granite pieces. And the foundation is very shallow, I think. I don't think it's very deep at all, maybe a foot. And the boards on the floor are fairly wide, they're about this wide. And they look like heavy floorboards. Now there are other outbuildings on the property, and there's quite an extensive barn. So whether this was over there and moved here for a purpose is an interesting question. Demolition is a serious question for the Historic District Commission, and you sort of have to weigh in about its how far deteriorated is it? Is it beyond salvage? So I looked at that, and there's quite a lot of it's a very damp space, and the floorboards are rotted out in places. It's a little dangerous to walk into it for fear of falling through to this 1 foot cavity. But the other part of it is not collapsing. It just seems to be very damp, and probably there's rot from moisture. That's all I could see. I don't know if you have any more.
Don't forget the thousands of pine cones and the hole in the floor, because the animals have been going wild in there for years, and there's dirt piled up. I mean, not that I'm advocating for demolition, because I really don't think we know what it is, you know, and like that kind of bothers me.
The question we have is, could it be saved? I mean, is it beyond saving? Is it so rotted out?
Well, that's what my husband, we're expecting a grandchild in July, and he's like, you know, what if, you know, this falls apart? He's just so afraid. He's, you know, we're kind of the exact opposites. I think it's pretty, and I kind of want to hang on to it. He's really concerned about safety, and he's super worried about the structure.
Right.
And he thinks, like, why are we even hanging on to this? I don't even think it's old. And I'm like, I'm not sure if it's old. And so we're having these kind of debates, and this was just supposed to maybe help us clarify what you guys think it might be, and if you think it's worth us saving it, or what you think we should do.
Well, my own thought is that it...
Did anyone else come see it? It's just a really weird thing, but...
It does provide us with a situation in its proximity to the other building. That's not something that is good for the other building, for the remaining building, because there's no...
Yeah, for either building.
You can't repair. And you can't repair anything.
You can't get in there to repair anything.
Right, that's true.
And it's not a... It's a damp, you know, a place, right, for varmint infestation and for rot and dampness and mold and whatnot. So...
The sediment's right in the earth also. The shingles and
It's really that's why it's, I think that's why, and it could have serious silt problems.
I'm sure it's a sure debt problem.
Probably does.
Yeah. And was it a mishmash of is it nicely built with?
Yeah, framing is kind of interesting. It's fairly regular. It's not like a lot of crazy pieces. It has a fairly regular framing system, and the studs are fairly wide apart. Yeah. Interesting in there. They seem to be fitted together nicely.
Is it stick built, Rich, or is it modified timber frame?
Yes,
light timber frame.
Light timber. It's not a. It's not like a 2x4 framing system, but it's an. So that would indicate sort of mid 19th century on.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, I would, just looking at it, I would guess it's, you know, probably 1880s or something yeah. like that. But,
yeah.
I think it was moved there.
Yeah.
I think there were so many outbuildings of the property beyond where Little Rest Road and Marion is, where it was sold, and I think there was tons of buildings.
Yeah.
I bet it was moved at
well,
that point.
Well, just the fact that it's so close to the other
yeah.
building, you know, it must have been moved there.
There are ways to find out through the Sanborn insurance maps and other mapping
that. Okay.
that might exist. It would show the footprint of the house and any additions. The Sanborn maps, I haven't seen them for Kingston, but they were insurance maps that were produced fairly regularly over the course of the late 19th century and early 20th century. And they show the construction, whether it's timber or brick or masonry or stone. Mm. They were done for insurance purposes, and they were updated regularly. There's probably a detailed map of Kingston somewhere. And you can find them online, so if you Google Sanborn
okay.
insurance map.
Okay.
Is the roof sheathing intact?
I didn't see the roof.
No, roof from inside. Did you look up?
Yeah, it's very dark.
Yeah, it's pretty
it
wet.
It's
just
wet.
Really wet.
It's
rotted.
I think probably the roof has failed and the
yeah.
sheathing boards are wet.
And it's got asphalt on the top of it.
Does it have asphalt on the
yeah.
top?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to decide whether you want to have a nice little shed and spend some money on it for new sills and
yeah.
a new roof and new shingles. And
okay, I just didn't know
it
how
could,
to proceed with you guys, you know, how
also,
those decisions happen.
Yeah, I think the other thing, if you were to keep it, you could probably get, you could come before us to, if you wanted to put windows in it or change it so it was more useful. It only has one window. This one
yeah,
window
I saw that
window.
Little tiny, yeah.
So that makes it a very dark.
Yeah, just sort of
could it be moved?
Stylish.
And it could be moved again, perhaps.
Yeah, that's
well,
interesting.
Yeah.
If you found out where it came from, move it, if it was part of the property.
Okay.
Or it could be moved somewhere else. Yeah, right.
It'd actually
that's
be a good idea
to
move it just
yeah,
to get
just,
it away from
yeah,
the.
Yeah, it would make it more useful, too.
Yeah, away from the other.
You,
the
other thing is, you could take it apart and move it that way rather than try to move it as it is and keep the. Form of it, maybe it becomes a studio out in the garden or
playhouse.
A playhouse for your grandchildren.
Are you thinking about writing a novel?
No.
Becoming an artist.
All right. Well, that's happening, but
so it does have those, but that would
yeah.
mean that you just save the wall as it instead of like psh, in a demolition, you'd save parts of it
mm-hmm.
and reuse them. So those are options,
okay.
too.
I mean, I don't think anything's happening really quick, but I think we just wanted to get what your opinions were on that. And if we were restricted or, you know, how much, I don't know how this goes, you know, so.
Well, I think in terms of outbuildings, we have concern in Kingston. There's some really fine outbuildings in Kingston. And demolition is always a serious thing to consider. So it depends upon its... viability and its condition.
And its significance, and this is, design-wise, this isn't great, a great contributing structure, I don't know.
It almost sounds like there's a little bit in column A and a little bit in column B, sort
yeah.
of in favor and opposed around the table, depending on sort of what your all's and sort of hope is, right, and how to, whether or not there's a way that it can be reused for you all and relocated, or whether...
Mm.
Well, the other part of the question is, what would you do with the space if you did demolish it?
Patio.
Patio.
Is it a patio?
Well, there's an existing little brick patio.
Did you just extend it to on the foundation?
I would probably just put a tree or something in, you know. Actually, because there's a cherry tree across the way, and I'd probably add another cherry. I don't know. Maybe a small little fence. I don't know. There's some great fence pieces under the barn, you know, I could reuse. Like a pretty little... I'm not sure. But it would be a hole, and that was my concern, because the neighbors are over there, and, you know, so...
It sort of does block your view of
yeah.
the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The building.
So, all right, so how do we...
Well, I think your idea for the storm windows sounds fine, and I think, do we need to vote on those, or are they just things that we...
No, we should vote on the storm windows.
So that's what...
She could use whatever, whichever type she chose to, either the inside or the outside.
Yeah, well, the brand we're using is a very good brand also.
Okay.
And they can always be removed in the future.
That's...
You know, it's nothing that's permanent, so...
But it makes it a bit more livable, at least, you know?
Sure, yeah.
You might be able to sell those other, the wooden storms, if people are looking for those.
I was thinking they should just stay with the house.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all numbered, and actually, it's an amazing system, so...
That was a little attached with numbers on it?
Yeah. I think they should just stay.
They're in this little building.
Well...
Some of them.
Some of them, that's for that cottage, yeah, but the big ones are in the big barn.
The big barn, yeah.
Well, can we have a motion concerning this, the storm windows, first of all? And then, Rick, maybe you could describe it. You know.
All right, I'll make a motion that we approve the application for the exterior triple track storm windows as presented. And I just didn't look up the standard.
Oh, I
did. But I think it's... What did you got, Robert?
Number 37.
Yeah, under 37. Yeah. Which allows us to approve the triple track wood or aluminum storm. They do make the triple track in wood too.
They do?
Yeah. But I think they're clunkier, I think.
Yeah.
Wood or aluminum storm windows.
Do we have a quorum right now? I think we do. That one's four.
Yeah, four gets you all a quorum. Right.
And that if you choose to do the interior storms, that we don't really have purview over that because it's interior.
Right.
So that's really kind of be up to you.
Okay, I like that idea though.
Yeah, and how many you want to do that way? Mm. Whatever. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Aye.
So please come back to us when you about the shed, when you think about it some more. Is that good?
Sure, and you guys aren't leaning any particular way. My husband's going to ask. You think preserve if you can, or
you can
relocate
tell, you can
it.
Tell him whatever you want.
No, that's what I told him. Except we do have this going.
You can listen back, right?
No, okay, we'll work it out still.
It would be wonderful to find out a little bit more about it if you can. That might help you make the decision.
Right.
And the primary importance of the house is it's 18th century and early 19th century appearance. Yeah. But it is a complex of buildings. So it may be that you'll find out that this came from, it was something else important that it came from. Maybe it was an ice house.
That's interesting.
Although it doesn't seem to have evidence
usually
of
a thicker
wall.
Yeah.
Could it have been like for storage, for preserving stuff? Mm-hmm. I mean, anything, you know.
It is odd that it only has one window. So it doesn't have, when you think about it, 19th century, they didn't have electric lights. So obviously it's kind of like, well, what are you using this for?
You don't use it all the time, in other words.
Well, even in the daylight, it was dark inside with the doors open.
And the boards going in two different directions is interesting.
Yeah.
Why
so
would they go into
so was it? Could it have been a little stable with a window, with one window for one horse of some sort? Would that have been possible?
But you have a whole farm.
I know.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, stable.
I know.
And the door isn't really wide enough or big enough for that.
Well, maybe you can dig and find out something about it. A little mystery.
Thank you for buying this wonderful house.
Oh my gosh, we love it.
It's
we
a
love
great
it.
House.
We're so happy.
Yeah, I think people were worried about this house, so it's cool.
Yeah. Well, I had two other homes in Kingston, so that I lived on either side of it, actually.
Ah,
so we were on Little Rest, and then we were on South Road, so I guess we're still on South Road, but it's Potter Lane.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. we're familiar with the area. I might just hang on there because I guess I'm going to maybe have new neighbors that I'd like to hear a little bit about.
Okay. So we're not going to take any action on the shed for the time.
No action on the shed. Okay.
And the next application is from Angela Ahmad. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes. Thank you.
And this concerns the Westcott Inn/Reynolds Tavern at 2573 Kingstown Road. And the ponds, which are the driveway right now, and what to do about it.
Yes.
So can you just describe quickly what your
sure. So there's an existing one-lane driveway, and it goes back to the back of the property is a parking area, and it is currently student rentals. They don't really have a very good place to park, especially when it rains. Even with this last rain that we had, Kayla, I sent you an even better picture of the lake, the Kingston Lake.
And I don't know if I forwarded it to everyone, but I'm actually going to pull it up now. And put
yeah. It's awful. Yeah. I mean, and so what happens is they don't want to get out into a lake, so they park wherever.
Yeah.
And then, so now they've been parking on the grass, and so now we're eating closer and closer to the home, and then where they've parked now is becoming more of a disaster.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of different contractors come out, give us some suggestions, and then I know that keeping in mind, you know, that it is in a historical district, that the front driveway portion, you know, we're proposing a recycled product. There's recycled concrete, which really looks like gravel, but it gets compacted really hard. And then there's also recycled asphalt, so he gave me a couple of options. For longevity of parking, I mean, obviously asphalt is king, but that would, you know, we're considering that, you know, if you had asphalt that went all the way to the cobblestone, it would not perhaps, you know, look as historic because it's asphalt. So that's why we were looking at doing at least the first approximately 60 feet to be the recycled product so that it would look keeping with the historical nature. There's also a large brush pile back there, so people have been putting brush and leaves and junk there for a very long time. And it has, you know...
I would say at least 25 years.
Yeah, did you see it?
I've seen it when my husband used to plow the driveway there.
Okay.
Time ago.
Yeah, so there's just... It's just been neglected in a way. And so what I want to do is remove the brush that, you know, in the piles so that it's just beautiful. You know, there's specimen plants back there that I would keep... There are, I just lost the name of the yellow one that are out this time of year.
Forsythia.
Thank you. There are forsythia bushes. There are other trees and things that I would keep. But, like, there's a dead stump that has probably been there right in the middle of nowhere for decades that the stump needs to go. Mm-hmm. But on the sides of the driveway, I would keep, you know, I wouldn't touch the fence. I wouldn't touch any of the specimen plants on that side. I just want to make it usable. I will say that is the biggest problem that I have at that property is the driveway turns anybody off that wants to live there that has a car. They're like, oh, I can't park. You know, nobody wants to live there. So it's cutting into the usability of the property. So that's where we're at. As far as using gravel only, I've had, you know, like a landscape company will tell me that they can do it, but they say it like, we can do it, but then, you know, you have problems plowing it, and then with, you know, people...
Every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, then I'll be right back to where I started as far as it will be like an endless battle, and then as far as plowing will be difficult, and then just you'll get ruts and holes, and then I'll be right back to where I started. I have a couple of people tell me that they wouldn't even do it. You know, that they were like, yeah, I'm not, I wouldn't even say you should do that, that you shouldn't just do gravel. Because my original thought was, I'll just fill the holes that are there, kind of regrade it a little bit, just kind of keep it old dirt path looking, right, but usable. And I got a lot of advisement against that. It will just be a money pit, continuing to dump stuff there. So I'm looking for a solution that is kind of, that makes the investment good for me, and yet long term, you know, that it is usable, but at least in keeping with the front, we wouldn't touch the sidewalk. You know, there's a cobblestone sidewalk that is there.
Brick.
Yeah, it's brick. It's brick. And so, you know, none of that, you know, would be touched, but that's where we're at.
Is that front, this one from the walkway in, is that generally as bad as in the back? Does it get as
the back puddles? The back has puddles that are very consistently like 8 inches deep or more.
But this part, looks like this part drains pretty well.
It does
so
have...
you did put crushed, just some kind of crushed product there, yes.
It does drain better in the front.
Yeah.
But that's where I was proposing that we would do a crushed material just for that straight shot.
So what, through to about where this...
We were thinking at, you know, a good 50 feet in, mm-hmm. so that from the street you really wouldn't be able to...
Then that would be the crushed.
Yeah, it would be the crushed.
Crushed cement or asphalt?
I was given two options.
Oh.
One is a crushed asphalt, which is a recycled asphalt product, and then but it mimics little black rocks. And then the other product that I was given was a crushed concrete, but when they showed me a sample of that, they get it from places that have, it's like crushed brick and concrete kind of all together.
Oh,
so it was kind of a, I guess I didn't personally like maybe the look of that, because there was a lot of brick chunks in it, which I thought was a little not as attractive aesthetically, because it was like, oh, it's crushed up brick. Like, what happened there? You know, it wasn't as aesthetically pleasing as small little rocks, you know, that just look like rock.
So where is the water coming from?
The heavens.
it's an exceptionally flat lot.
You're going to have to do something with the drainage. I mean, you can't. No matter what you put in there,
yeah,
it's still going to puddle up until you figure out what to do with the excess water.
You have to somehow
create,
through grading, a way to channel the drainage into areas where it's not a problem. So in days gone by, they would put a little bit more of a hump maybe down the middle of the road,
right.
And the water would drain off on both sides. Into
mm-hmm.
grass or swales, that may be something you could accomplish. But when you fill it, is to try to push the water in a certain direction that's meaningful.
Right. I brought that up with the couple of different contractors, and the one that I submitted. I brought that up with him that I can't have puddles in any event.
Yeah.
And they said that they would regrade it, and, you know, the plan would be to regrade it in such a way that it would not pond and that it would drain appropriately, that I did address that with them. Yeah, because I don't want to, you know, pay all this money and then still have a lake, you know, so that was part of the estimate.
But you think this is really water, it's rainwater that's doing this, or is it groundwater coming up?
It's rainwater. I'm fairly certain it's rainwater.
Because Kingston has had a terrible season with water table issues and drainage.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the surface like that, though, Rich.
Well, it's all over the campus. It's unbelievable.
Now, drywall used for? That was mentioned in there.
I do not know.
Okay.
I've owned the property since December. I'm not certain I am not even certain that it is a well. That's just what that contractor said that he thought it probably was.
A dry well.
Yeah.
Mean
it's, there's a it's just this right in the middle of the parking area, and everybody has to go around it, and it's just.
It's okay. Is it a brick? Is it brick line?
No, it's
no.
It's grass and a little. Is that it? This little mound here.
Let me look at my pictures.
Another car? No. Looks like you have to go around it.
Yeah,
like
you have to.
Grass.
Yeah, you can see it, and they put a sign on. I guess in I.
It's got signs on it. Yeah.
Yeah, it has one sign on it. My pictures aren't numbered. There's just a.
Good old cesspool.
Yes, I can.
It's on the one picture before the asphalt. Yeah. Rock.
Okay,
you
got a better picture.
That's the back. But yeah, so some of these pictures. This picture just drives me crazy because that's where they park now. You know, and it's just destroying.
A bit of grass.
And I know why they park there. And to be honest, I have too, because when I've come down there and there's 8 inches of water, I mean, I can't, you know, you're not getting out. And so it, part of the proposal was to have, you know, a demarcation of where there's just like a 4x4 post there now, but I'm going to make proper posts all the way around. So with, you know, that they go down through with the steel nails and make it so that
you stay there
and then so they don't roll them out of the way if they want more space or you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, people tend to do what that will work for them, so I'm trying to design a project that was so the grass can be grass and you know the parking can be parking and it's usable because it's I get a lot of complaints about this driveway
and I'm sorry may I what do you when you're going to do the crushed asphalt from the, what are you going to do in the back? Is that going to be?
I would like for that back pad to be an asphalt pad,
okay.
Where they actually park, just the back rectangle, but without moving, you know, moving the pile of debris,
yeah.
And just making a parking area that will last me quite some time. And but without removing trees that are on the property line or anything that's not just a weed or already an existing pile of brush.
When you're talking about railroad tie edging, what are you talking about? Are you talking about real railroad ties or 6x8 pressure treated lumber? Or what is the idea with that?
I guess.
Says pressure treated, I think 6x6 is somewhere
yeah, it was
in the
just,
proposal.
When I asked when I asked the contractor for a suggestion, that's what
yeah.
You know he had suggested.
We used to do that. I installed a lot of driveways for years, and we used to do that, but we stopped because they always ended up getting displaced, and they become sort of ugly as time goes by.
They do rot out.
Yeah, and they do rot out, yeah. And just,
well,
you know,
she's talking about using, like, rebar or something, too.
That's what we used to do, too.
Yeah,
to
spike them.
Yeah.
And they still mold?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be open for another suggestion. You know, I wasn't for sure, like, what to use. I do want to definitely demark, like, nobody can drive on the grass. You know, I want it to be nice.
I wonder if there was asphalt there, if they would automatically just stop before the edge of the asphalt.
Would you put a little
asphalt
curb? A little
curb, yeah.
Just a little bit. They kids, they won't. They
yeah, that's true. You could, I could just do like a little fence, you know, a little like picket fence or, you know, something to denote the drive.
So how many cars are parked there? How big a parking lot is it?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but there are nine.
Nine vehicles?
Yes.
So that would be nine vehicles worth of asphalt. So
yes.
It would be 90 feet. Are they all lined up, the vehicles?
There's definitely, like if the brush wasn't there and the piles of debris wasn't there, it would be, like, just visually looking at it, you could get, like, six like this, and then, you know, at...
Maybe three.
Three on the farther side. It would be...
And you would asphalt the entire area in between where they backed out?
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's... So I think I have a concern about the pervious surface and impervious surface there. With this kind of water problem,
mm-hmm.
if you asphalt it, you will get that much more impervious surface that has, you have to deal with the drainage off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that will impact the other areas with more water. If you have a pervious surface for the whole area, like your crushed asphalt, I know that becomes a problem with you know, snow and whatnot. But you've got more area for that water to get absorbed.
Right.
And when it comes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what... This is a nine-unit parking lot. I don't know what the town standards are for parking lots of that size.
Have you tried...
Or whether this is totally grandfathered.
It's a little bit grandfathered right now because... Yeah. Were it to be coming forward as like a home that was being developed today, it would trigger parking lot standards.
Right.
But because the area is used for parking today is what's going to be used for parking continual, it's just sort of a material
not expanding
change.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But if you were going to do this new today,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're headed sort of in a solution which is sort of up to standards of today, which try to mitigate some of the stuff happening. Mm-hmm. You would have some sort of a swale or some sort of a way to take care of the drainage.
Right.
And if you asphalt it, and if you went to go that route, you know, with a impervious surface, then you'd have like a little drainage basin that the water would get shunted to, like a little rain garden or something,
mm-hmm.
a little detention basin. It wouldn't have to be very big, because
mm-hmm.
this isn't huge, but enough to absorb all that water off the asphalt and carry it away from creating more trouble. So that's something to think about.
I think there is space there for like what you're talking about, because there's quite a lot of space between now. You've been there, right? But maybe even recently.
Not recently, but
like
I've
where the parking. It's not a lot, but like where the parking area is,
mm-hmm.
and then there's quite a bit of space. It's just grass, you know, until you get to like where the back door is. So I think there would be
some way to
channel it. Yeah, I think there would be some space there to do.
Is the lot slope slightly towards the neighbors in the back, or is it?
I think they all slope towards me,
yeah.
But
well, yeah, you might be getting their runoff.
I think that I am.
Yeah.
I know everything is, you know, it's so old there, and you, but I do think, like, as I stand there, I'm like, well, none of their lots are full of water,
right?
So mine is,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because they graded theirs towards yours.
And I just think that ours has not been addressed for decades.
Long time.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
You know, you can just tell none of that there has been addressed for decades.
Yeah.
We're finding a lot of...
Maybe with the where the dry well is,
mm-hmm.
they could maybe excavate it out and put like a... one of those 4x4 galleys
in
there with crushed stone
around
it,
yeah.
and kind of
use that at
down.
Yeah.
So as a drainage, then it would seep out into the ground underground.
Mm.
At
no, I see what exactly
that's
you're
sort of what a dry well is.
Get
it may have been one that's been totally screwed up and doesn't work now.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
They can get them fairly cheap if it's they got a hook, like they can't use them.
Right.
And the holes in the... They technically, it's a four-sided thing with holes in it.
What did you call it?
A galley.
A galley.
Concrete galley.
It's four septic systems mainly, but they have ones that are damaged. They can't use them for that. And you can get them really cheap.
Okay.
And, you know, if you spend... They could maybe swale it into that.
No, I see what you're saying.
That way you've
got
a place for it to go.
Yeah.
And you could actually put maybe something around like a grass spiral plantings in there or something.
Maybe.
It seems like definitely you want to watch the drainage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sort of what you're hearing here specifically because there are rules about diverting water to
mm-hmm.
other properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure whoever you're working with as a contractor is confident that the way they're going to slope whatever you end up doing out there, that it's not going to end with you now off-shedding
The disclaimer being that we understand likely number of lots have been shedding water onto your property for a long time.
It's very easy to see it as you're looking like, oh, everybody went towards me.
Sometimes you want to be cautious of making sure that when you make the improvements, you don't put yourself in a scenario where now your neighbors are going to get that water and come to you to say, you're now pushing your water onto me. Because if it's been like that for a long time, there's a lot of sort of pieces to that legally that I'm not 100% great on. I'm not a lawyer, but there's an idea of prescriptive easements. If someone's property is always drained onto your property, they may have the right to continue. But if you change your property such that you drain onto the others now, you actually may find yourself in a scenario where they can sort of pursue action or have sort of a legal gripe with you for that. So you want to make sure, whether it's through swales around the area or treating the stormwater in the center, that you're making sure your contractor is really being considerate about that drainage, because especially given that the groundwater is high out there, the idea of some of these infiltration trenches and some of the swales, the functioning and success of those might be different. If the groundwater is only 18 inches deep, a galley is not going to actually really help you.
Right. Okay.
Right. Because there's not anywhere for that water to go if the groundwater is right there to start with.
Exactly.
So you just want to make sure that whoever you're working with, the contractor, doesn't put you in a spot where you have continued concern or issue in fixing your property relative to not your neighbors.
Crushed asphalt, does Linda's husband.
I have pictures of crushed asphalt if you want.
Yeah. It packs really well. It isn't like a bank run gravel driveway with crushed stone on top of it, and it's more easily plowable and by somebody that knows what they're doing. And it won't be displaced the way loose gravel or crushed stone would be. So that might be, I mean, one thing you could conceivably do is do the whole thing in crushed asphalt for the time being and see how it worked out. Because it does remain somewhat permeable, although not as much as I've had arguments over the years with people about gravel driveways. They're not permeable.
No.
They're packed, just like topsoil is permeable. But if you drive over it repeatedly for 50 years, it's no longer, but that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
There's no way for
it's
the water
flat.
To get through. Yeah. So that might be something. You could use the, if the asphalt were installed properly, deep enough, a foot deep, you'd be able to use that as a base for asphalt in the future and save some money at the same time.
Yeah, they had presented that as an option. Mm. You know, they gave me an original one for crushed asphalt or crushed recycled concrete for the whole thing. And then they did one for the whole thing in asphalt, just so I would see the price differences.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, I'm in the historic district. I can't go all the way to the street with asphalt. So what are my options? So they thought, well, the longevity of asphalt combined with, you know, getting you by with the historical district nature of keeping it nice in the front. So they were kind of trying to give me a halfway estimate using that so that that I... for longevity, but I don't really have any problems with doing the whole thing in crushed asphalt because of the nature of the drainage that I am concerned about. I don't want my neighbors to hate me, you know. You want to get along with your neighbors, especially since I'm a new property owner. I don't know how much they already have against, you know, the property.
Yeah.
I'm new, so.
So that's option two then, right? Is that the option two in your?
Well, yeah, yes. There were, option one was asphalt only, option two was crushed only, and then when I said, hey, what about something halfway in between?
A combo.
You know, then over the phone, I got a number three, which I kind of just scribbled on the bottom because they didn't resend me, you know.
Yeah.
The number three. I was happy that they actually sent me a written, nice estimate that you can understand. Because, well, as you know, sometimes contractors don't even want to give you a written estimate. They just kind of want to say, "Hey, this," and it's difficult to work with.
Well, I'd like to put a motion on the table so we can move ahead, and that would be to approve the recycled crushed asphalt for the entire driveway. Provided that your contractor puts in the appropriate swales and directional emphasis on the surface of the driveway so it sheds the water properly.
Okay.
This is the first time I think we've approved the recycled asphalt for a driveway in Kingston. There are no other driveways like this, are there?
I just have, is it going to be the pure asphalt or is it going to be an asphalt gravel mix? There's a difference. That's why I'm asking.
I believe that the estimate was written for recycled asphalt. I don't know if it is 100% or what else. I mean, I can clarify that.
Well, I was just curious. If they, like when they did High Street out here, they dug down so deep that it got gravel and stuff like that mixed in with it. Well, it's considered recycled asphalt. Grindings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got like a gravel mix in with it. And where the pure asphalt is just, by the time they compact it, it's going to look like asphalt.
Okay.
By the time the kids drive over it and compact it down or whatever, it's going to look more like asphalt than, it's not going to have the shiny, no rock stuff in it, but it's going to look more like asphalt.
I think that appearance is not going to be that acceptable. I like the mix of some of the gravel.
The mix, yeah.
It's a little bit more natural.
And it's the mix is very sturdy also.
Yeah, it really binds up. It binds up good, as John
yes,
said. Yes,
it
told
does.
Me one
it
time. Binds up good. Yeah.
And I have actually all three in my driveway. I mixed them everywhere, so.
Yeah.
I guess the sample that I saw was loose looking stuff, but I saw, bucket, I mean, I didn't really see
behind,
a finished driveway.
I don't know what I think he put the gravel mix down there, but he really compacted it. But behind Graphic Expressions.
Oh.
He did down there.
I mean, the way that it was described to me is that the end result would look like small rocks. So that's why in my mind I was thinking that would be
no.
Rocks would be a more acceptable look than
it gets hotter
asphalt,
in the summer,
you know?
And so forth, and it gets amalgamated. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there is, still oil and rocks mixed together, and on a very hot summer day, people drive it out. You'll end up with a really well compacted surface, and the idea of having some gravel mixed in with it makes a lot of sense because it'll still pack like that, but it's slightly
gonna
lighter.
It's going to pack, but it's going to look more
less black.
So
less black.
So the mix that you're describing to me, do you know the ratio of that mix, or is it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
I mean, because I'm.
But if that's if we put that in the motion as a performance standard, that we want a gravelly kind of look, a lighter look than the asphalt.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for too.
Sounds
I'm trying to find the solution that will keep a look.
Yeah.
It's just hard when I, it's
these
like
not really good pictures, but this is one with the gravel mixed in with it.
Okay.
Looks a little bit more gravelly.
Yeah, it's more like a gravel driveway.
That's what the description, and then the loose bucket that I saw, has this kind of a look.
Just the plain asphalt, but it's not completely packed down.
Right. I mean, this looks more like, rocks, was the descriptor that I want. Originally, I had started like, okay, I'll just redo it in gravel, but everybody was, the longevity of that, you'll be at it every year. And, it just won't be what
we're looking for. So why don't I amend my motion that it be it's option two, but with a gravelly mix.
Okay.
A recycled asphalt and gravel mix.
It's still recycled asphalt.
Yeah. To meet a performance standard that you have, that you've got a more of a gravelly appearance or a lighter appearance than an asphalt driveway.
And it's still going to hold up.
Yes, that's...
Is that okay?
Yes.
Right. Did you get...
I said it still will hold up.
It still will hold up,
yeah.
All right. I said need a second.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
I really would be leery of pressure-treated ties, but
okay. Do you have an alternate, I mean, material in mind? I'm trying to...
We used to rows of plants to stop people from driving on tools.
Yeah. A lot of trees there, you know, so yes. You kind of have to go with something that's going to grow in the trees. But, yeah, I'm...
Yeah. And, you know, of course...
My first idea was, I got to demark it in some way. I'm sorry.
You've seen rocks planted to keep people off lawns.
Yeah.
Then it's a mowing problem.
Yeah.
So, that's true. Whatever you do.
And I will be the one mowing. So, you know, I was thinking, like, I can just edge. You know, I'll just edge right there.
Yeah,
but well, I think a fence of some, there may be some in the shed even that, you know, is some usable fence or some other, I mean.
You're not talking about surrounding the whole area with ties, only as a stop for the parking spots.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they know where they're going to park.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't have any objection to it. I'm just thinking that it won't turn out to be great as the years go by.
No, yeah, that's, I mean, a big rock would be, but I'm hoping if they have a good place to park that nobody would ever,
why would they?
They wouldn't have to park on the grass. It's just that has kind of been what has happened, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and every time I come down there, it's just, oh my gosh, people tear up my yard. It was so pretty, you know, like it could be a great place to sit and read and, you know, use, but...
Does the motion have to include anything about the pressure-treated ties, or can they be considered removable or replaceable and not important enough to be included? Because it is a significant piece of the job, so I don't know. I don't really have any objection to them. They're also slightly buried. They're not sitting on top of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see a whole 5.5 by 5.5 inch tie sitting on top.
Well, the alternatives are like concrete or granite. I mean, they're pretty much more visible. This is kind of got a... I mean, the back is interesting. The back side of these houses has more of a farm, rural, country kind of
feel. That there. I agree with, and that was one of the things when, you know, he suggested, you know, railroad ties would kind of tie in with the general... look, whereas concrete, then I feel like is although it probably lasts forever, but it just kind of, I don't want it to look like university housing, or I mean university parking, you know what I mean, when you got the concrete in front of everything. I was kind of trying to go for a more
natural, formal aspect of it, make it a little bit more natural.
But I do agree that like a few well-placed plants would probably accomplish the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could save
some,
me money.
You could
probably
get some, there are, you know, around large stones that, you know, you'd have to go and find them though.
And they can also look horrible if it's not done correctly.
Right.
You know,
if it looks like I did it and just stuck it there, it'd be like...
Right.
Okay.
So do you want to modify your motion, including the ties, or doesn't it?
Well, yeah, we can include the ties. I'm just looking... Or I'll modify my motion to include the railroad ties. And then I think in terms of the guidelines, we're under Section 3, which is the site design guidelines, and paving, which is 49. There's a caution against introducing paving that is not in character with the district. So this paving attempt is to try to get at a gravelly look that mimics, but it's a little bit more substantial for this condition.
You'll find it a lot more satisfactory than bank run gravel and crushed stone, because it doesn't, when cars turn on it, it doesn't displace the way the gravel does. It's much more solid stuff.
And I think we're trying to find something that's at a different level than an asphalt parking lot would be. And that seems to be in keeping with your thoughts.
Yes.
So our standards really tell us that that's where we should go.
Well, and also our standards sort of indicate plantings rather than...
Yeah. Planting buffers at the edges of the parking areas. We have grass.
I'm perfectly fine with plantings if the railroad ties are not...
Well,
you're finding not in keeping...
some plantings. You know, so that something's growing sort of over them, but that kind of thing. It makes it a little bit more apparent.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably ways you could do that. So that's standard 49 is about paving. 50 is about the parking areas. And this is in back of the buildings, which is excellent, the existing parking area.
So is that a motion?
Yes.
Do we just finish it? We have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. Good luck.
Thank you.
This whole house is a project.
Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful house.
It's great. I really like it, and we're trying to keep it nice, you know, going forward. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Art, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you. You guys have a nice night. Thanks for your time.
Oh, and so for the logistics, I'm your logistics person. You'll get, both of you will get an email from me. You'll get a letter in the mail as well, but the certificate of appropriateness, I tend to send them out in email just so you have them quicker and you're not sort of waiting on the stamp.
Okay.
But so expect those sort of by middle of next week or so.
Okay.
Turn them around pretty quickly for you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Nice. Mr. Langlug, you're up next. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Langlug, I should say.
Yes.
Can you just identify yourself for the record and tell us a little bit about your project and also where it is and so forth?
I'm Joseph Langlug. He's my wife, Linda. We have lived here in Greenfield for 17, 18 years. We presently live on what is known as Old Post Road. So though it's not an historic district, there's certainly significant historic homes in the area. And the house that we built there is consistent with that neighborhood. Right now we're in a preliminary stage here. We're in a purchase and sales agreement on the lot. It's 23-3, lot 36, which is 5 lots down from 138 on the west side of South Road.
So it's right here. So Potter is here.
Yeah.
It's right there. That's correct.
Where's the cemetery?
A little bit further down, maybe three lots down.
Yeah. And this is the Potter Lane coming in to the Potter House.
Yeah.
And then there's some new houses and there's some old houses. It's sort of a.
Yeah, you're right on the edge of the historic district,
right,
so you do have a mix.
So this is all sort of forested now, but this area right in here is the large green lawn that
McBurney
Jill's...
I see.
Right, the McBurney House is right in
so
here.
So this is the site that you have from South Road.
Yeah, right. Of Jill's house.
Yeah.
And then this is the next lot up.
Did you say it's about a half acre?
17,000 square feet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big lot.
And how far back will the house be set from the?
Approximately 45 to 50 feet.
Yeah.
I start to get closer to the back setback, the zoning regulations would. I have another 15, 20 feet.
Oh, I see.
But as we plan this...
It's right sort of in the middle of the lot.
Yeah. We are planning it built now for future garage, but that would give us the option of keeping the garage to the back part of the lot, which I think is one of the things you guys would like to see.
Yeah, so the garage would be on the north side of the house.
North side.
And there's a door there.
So the intention here, because this is preliminary, is to see what your thoughts are. It's new construction. I understand that there's only been one new construction, maybe in the last 40 years, the historic district.
Yeah, but at least three. Yeah, there are two on South Road up from you, would be north of that. They're set back. The houses are set way back,
okay.
And they... They don't really. They look like they've always been there. Actually, it's interesting. And then there's one on Old North Road, just beyond the fraternity. It has a red fence.
Daryl's.
Yeah, and it's it was on part of the lot of that house that cut off the piece.
I'm a realtor, by the way, and still pay his house. So.
Yeah, so you know that one.
So we know that we're very familiar with it. So. So with being new construction, there's a lot of flexibility to what the facade of the house will look like. I did bring a bigger drawing. These drawings that you see here, because we're getting construction financing, these are just basically for the bank's purposes, so that they can see what they're loaning on.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be more detailed plans when we actually go. What is planned out? One of my first questions, it has to do with some of the verbiage in the regulations. And in Section 61, new buildings should appear similar in height, mass, scale, form. The height of the house is consistent with maybe four or five houses in the historic district. But it is going to be a one-level house. Even though it's going to have the roof lines of a cape, it's going to be the same as, it's going to be a 10 pitch. It'll be about 21 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no intentions of doing anything in the upstairs. Actually, there'll be vaulted ceilings.
Inside?
Inside.
Great. So it'll be like cathedral ceilings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the great room.
In the great room.
Vaulted ceilings.
Right.
So there's no intention of building bedrooms out there, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
But it will have all the outward appearances of a traditional cape.
Right. And
there's several wings on it, so it's really a single level. It's not a cape design.
So this is the great room inside.
That's right.
And that will have a vaulted ceiling. I was thinking that. I drew a line through there where I thought the ridge might be.
Right.
And so the other capes that exist, and there are several that I saw on South Road,
mm-hmm.
there are at least two, one on each side. One of them has a shed dormer on it,
mm-hmm.
for probably the upstairs bedroom. And so the roofs seem to be, even with those capes, they seem to have dormer or some sort of some interruption of that roof.
In the back, though.
Well, there's several.
In the front, too.
Some in the front, some in the back. Yeah.
There's several hips and valleys in the design,
yeah.
which is going to give you, it's not going to be this flat cape. There is some detail in it.
They have pictures of those houses.
Almost got a little indented porch.
Yeah, the porch is the thing that disrupts the front elevation and makes it uncape-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some of the capes have a projecting porch instead of an indented porch.
Yeah.
And some of them, so that kind of look is a very interesting look to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you can have a generous front porch with part of it sticking out and part of it indented, that would work.
Well, actually, part of it is going to stick out. Again, that was preliminary. And I'm probably going to project out at least 2, if not 4 feet.
Yeah.
So, this came very sudden. I wanted to get some ideas from you guys. It's not fully planned or thought out.
It's evolving.
It's evolving, yeah. This is I did this recently, and I did it at a bigger scale for the facade of the house, so you can get a little bit more understanding how I'm going to trim the house out.
Yeah.
It is going to be an asphalt roof. The trimming will be natural, or will be wood. Again, you can see it's in that traditional cape styling. My questions really is the scope of the project okay with you guys? And then I'm going to have to ask questions as far as what you're looking for doors and windows, which obviously has to come up as part of the conversation.
More windows.
Yeah.
There's actually closets right here, so.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
we can put a window here, but.
I think that my consideration is that the most of the houses, whether they're capes or two-story houses, have a sort of a formality about them, and you're getting to that point with this house where it's becoming even more symmetrical on this front elevation. Mm-hmm. And I had you know, played around with the front elevation, and the chimney, I think from this, from the interior plan, it looks like that. Is that a chimney there?
Yeah.
Is that a fireplace?
Zero clearance fireplace.
So if, I don't know, I guess you're not going to have a chimney then exposed, or was there any thought you did show?
It will be to the, yeah, to the back of the house.
For the oil burner then, or?
No, the zero clearance. Because
that comes up really close to the ridge. That is right underneath the ridge, right?
This is an old masonry trick, but it's here, but the chimney's actually going to be
Out here. So you were gonna.
The reason being is, having been in a bazillion old houses, and I've actually built a couple dozen houses.
Yeah.
If you take a chimney, if you go into your antique house and look at this, you take a chimney and you twist it one way and then twist it the other way, you're almost guaranteed a perfect drawer and no moisture coming down.
Yeah.
So next time you're in an attic, take a look at that.
So,
yeah, most of them are corbelled over. They go older.
And then they go up in another direction.
The attic, right.
So were you thinking
so that's
about
the trick.
Doing that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's what I did in my house. And
so we would have...
You'd never see a puff of smoke out of my fireplace.
Would we then have... there would be a chimney then. We'd see a chimney here.
It would be... you might just see the top of it.
It wouldn't be expressed vertically too far above the ridge. Okay. Well, what I was thinking of was that the formality of the other houses expressed in front porch or front door with side lights or whatever, if you move this door over to here in your plan,
mm-hmm.
which I think you can sort of do because it's not directly in line with the staircase, but this is going downstairs, not upstairs, right?
Yeah, that's going to the basement, and again, it's more of an access to, if you got to bring anything down the basement,
right.
You want as straight a shot as you possibly can get.
You don't necessarily have to have the front door right in front of that, right? And so that would be right here, and then you would begin to create this wonderful little front portico porch thing that begins to fit the house into the district. It begins to play on that theme. And, you know, by doing
it puts
that,
it in perspective.
Yeah, you actually begin to fit the whole thing into the context of Kingston without too much...
Makes it more symmetrical.
Without moving other things around too much.
Okay.
And then, this is just a thought I had, but because these dormers come and go, you know, and you see them in different Kingston houses, could you create more light for the great room with dormers in that vaulted ceiling?
No, it doesn't go there. The two bedrooms, yep.
Well, would they go in the bedrooms? What would that be like if you had vaulted ceilings in the bedrooms on either side of the great room?
Because of the structure and how I have to do it.
Would that be difficult to do?
Well, it'd be cutting through two load-bearing roof.
Yeah, because you have these coming through.
Here's the looking.
Because of the truss section, no trusses, stick built.
Okay,
that's
there.
What happens if you do that?
Because it would be right in here, and this is your.
Those are all load bearing.
Yeah.
And both of them are going to be bearing a load. One's going to be taking it here, and one's going to be taking it there. So I don't know how much light it's going to afford the bedrooms.
Well, they have a lot of light coming in from your other window situations here.
Yeah, we have two windows in all the bedrooms.
Why are you thinking about dormers?
Oh, just to relieve the roof because it becomes quite a long.
Yeah, but you've got this.
That helps. I'm just beginning to bring it sort of closer into context with what
there's some things detail wise that we might be exploring. For example, we might do a pattern in the shingles up here. The other thing is we might do a circle here with a lattice pattern in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's several things we can do to enhance the period design.
Right. I think that focusing on the side elevations too might help a little bit, but and the back elevations not so much. But this front becomes
this is the important
part of that, and to you know work with what you've got.
It's who cares about the back elevation?
I'm like, wait
a minute. Can't see it from her house.
I think if Jill sees anything, she'll see the side elevation from the front yard, right?
No, I don't think you'll see
anything.
I'm
just happy it's a single family home.
But I'm going to talk about that old chip, that old fireplace.
Yeah, you think it draws really well.
So those are just some ideas that I had and for you to think about. The more I played with it, the more I was able to make it sort of feel like a Kingston house that is not mimicking something, which we don't want you to build a replica of a Kingston house. We want it to be its own house, but that it would have some... This is the rhythm that exists in Kingston, where you have a front door in the front and you have two windows on either side, and it's just about every house has that pattern. If they're in the, you know, the 18th century or the...
But they don't have the dormers.
Well, some of them do have dormers and some of them don't. Some of them have shed dormers that go right across the whole front there.
Well, as the roof is going to turn out, there will be, you're going to have a 10 pitch and then it is going to flatten out towards where the porch area is. Again, that's a structural detail that has to happen.
Mm-hmm. So it has it. It does not show you up in the side elevation.
I know it isn't. As I said, we're still working with this.
Yeah, so this would kick out then a little bit like that.
Yeah.
So, and you have this marvelous great room, but there's not much light coming into it, except maybe from the backside, where you have some windows off the patio.
Well, we're going to have. And I'm going to need to talk to you because that's one of the doors. That's an atrium-style door.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
Well, I think you could do something with multiple doors, but like French doors.
Well, that's it looks like.
Does it look like a French door?
Yeah, you have a side light or a side panel that's fixed and only one door that swings.
Right, and the multi-paned doors?
They have all insulated doors. Everything's going to be...
You've got this six sash.
Yeah.
You sort of want to do something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And are those going to be true divided light?
Well, that's a question I have to ask you guys.
Yeah.
So the regulations that I see isn't making it a requirement. Is that something that you're looking to have?
Well, we have gone from wooden. I think in the past we had required wooden mutton multiple pane windows. It could be 2/2 or as you've got 6/1 double hung sash, but we hadn't. Our new guidelines talk about the possibility of other materials.
Yeah.
And that's something we can all discuss.
Yeah, I thought there was something last year that was some sort of synthetic.
Yeah.
It looked pretty woody.
In fact, I think
that was for Taylor's house.
The Anderson renewal.
Right now, renewals are replacement windows, but right now it's planned for the Anderson 400 series, and there'll be a special solar glass in, as the, it's clear glasses.
So what is their, what's the mutton like? These are insulated glass.
You can get them in anything from individual lights, 6/1, there's an insert in it that makes it look like it's individual lights, to just the snap mullions.
So what we like are the ones that don't come out; they're not snapped in.
and they're not flat. They don't look like tape. They just put tape on the windows.
Yeah, no, they have details to them.
Yeah, so there has to be like a reveal to the mutton as it comes out. And it should have a putty. You know, some of them don't seem to have like a putty edge on the exterior like it really would have.
Mm-hmm.
They have some sort of like a molding piece or something. Got them.
Well, I brought the Anderson catalog. I don't know whether you want to actually look at that at this particular point. I guess if the real issue with the Anderson is that there's a permaseal on the exterior of it. It's not wood.
Even it's a sheathed window.
That's
so
correct.
Is it in aluminum or?
No, it's permaseal. It's their own formula. It's some kind of vinyl.
Vinyl.
Plastic, special plastic.
Is the whole mutton, is it wood and covered with that, or is it solid all the way through?
The mutton, if the mullion is, the windows are going to be wood on the interior.
Yeah.
The only part of the window that has a coating on it, there's only a coating.
Is on the outside.
Is on the outside.
Yeah.
The trim work, the extensions, the stoops, headers, you know, your legs, all that are going to be wood.
Mm.
It's
right.
Just the right. Window itself.
I think when the time comes, you can bring in a sample of that.
I tried.
And you couldn't get one from them?
I had to steal that from the book I had. No, they gave it to me. They loaned it to me.
Because O'Donnell's usually does that. They'll give you a...
They didn't.
They had
no information. They said, yeah, take the book and please bring it back because they only have one copy of it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So what model are you talking about?
It's the 8400 series.
Is it architectural
wood.
Series?
It's an architectural series. It's wood, the Woodwright series of the architectural.
It's like a photograph of them in
there? Or a cross-section.
It does have a cross-section. There's your mullion choices.
So it's a simulated divided light, right?
Yep. You can do everything from a divided light down to just a snap.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Nothing that's $3 million.
Because they get snapped out.
Yeah. Well, the exteriors are not snapping.
No.
Yeah.
But true.
Yeah, so full divided light is what we would certainly prefer. It breaks up, but you don't have those sheets of glass reflecting.
There's a spacer bar covered by the mullions.
Yeah, that's so that when you look at it on the side, it looks like it's wood coming all the way through, where it just doesn't do that. That's interesting that they've got these different issues.
Well, it was explained to me they're doing that because of
the historic,
to try to.
It all used to just be simulated divided light, not full divided. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
The full divided light, having been in the business for 35, 40 years now, they're initial. You get them 20 years down the line, they're initial, no matter what the window is. Whether the caulking goes on them,
right.
The seams go on them.
That's why we recommend keeping your historic windows when you come up. You don't have these issues. They've already been there 100
different
years.
Different issues. Like cold.
Well, that's really interesting. So the on the windows, I noticed that you had different sizes. And one of the things is to keep them, maybe you're doing that in your latest revisions, try to keep more
consistent.
I know that it's tempting to put a smaller window in the bathroom. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, in the layout of all the windows on the side.
It's a privacy issue.
Yeah. So, you know, that's...
Get a
and then the placement of them. So I was with you, Peter, on more windows. Because the more windows you put in, it seems to even out the symmetry of the house. And I realized that on the inside that may not work, but, you know, maybe that's something you could consider.
Yeah, I just don't see how you're going to get a lot of light in that great room except for your patio.
That's
well,
west
facing. The we optimize the south side. There's five or six windows on the south side, and it's only a 40-foot wall.
It's kind of an indent, right? So it's not... Yeah.
It's meant to be a patio space.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
The roof is the roof's not going to come over it. It's going to be open.
Right, it's open.
But still.
Yeah.
You know, have you thought about skylights in the back of it? It's such a great concept to have that cathedral room.
If I did anything, I'd probably double the doors. I only have 14 feet that I can...
The patio.
Yeah, for the patio.
Oh, yeah, just have French doors right across the whole thing. Yeah.
French doors.
The look of French doors.
So the whole thing is glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that now, so... But what we have now is on the south side, so we get a lot of solar gain.
You won't if you use Anderson. Anderson's windows do not let any heat in at all.
Oh, that's a new one.
What depends on?
I know. Well,
they have.
I didn't realize that. I just did a replay.
Yeah, if you got the low E glass, you would have been fine.
Yeah,
you'd be more than toasty.
It didn't matter so much where I put it. I don't want to bring this up, but you know, because another part, I get most of the sun, but.
They do have a series that reflects.
So overall, the things they're concerned about is the rhythm of the windows on the front and on the sides, you know, how they have a regular, because all of Kingston, most of it is very rhythmic, you know, it's like there's not asymmetrical stuff, not a whole lot about it, it's all symmetrical. Mm-hmm. And the number of windows, the more windows it seems... There are on the existing properties are a lot of windows across the front, and that central doorway, and the roof itself. That, you know, I think a chimney would look really good on this house too.
What is the chimney going to be? It's going to be just a box around.
The reason why. Zero clearance fireplaces are much more efficient than a standard fireplace.
Uh-huh.
But they don't have a masonry stack. They have either a triple wall, depending on which one you use, it's either a triple wall or just regular chimney, fireplace chimney material. But you do cover it. You don't,
right.
Don't try to.
So you wouldn't want to put a chimney in this house other than that?
You almost can't.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Sorry, can I interject really quickly for a, this is not related, so I'm apologizing. Our recorder has a date at 7 o'clock, and I can go and get another recorder from downstairs if we want to continue the discussion. But I wanted to check in with you.
This is not something you're going to be voting on, so maybe it's not necessary.
I think it's all right if it just dies.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that would probably be okay, but I wanted to clear it all with you guys.
That's fine. Yeah, this is just part of our discussion.
Just giving. Language and thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I didn't want to constrict it, that's why I figured I'd see if we needed to grab the other recorder or
The other thing we'd probably be interested in is the treatment of the lot itself and how you intend to, if you're going to put a fencing up or anything.
It's a natural stone wall in right
natural
now.
Natural stone
so that's
wall, if you're going to protect that, if you're going to create an opening in it.
Mm-hmm.
There is an opening
we will be moving
just
for sake of getting it lined up better.
So let us know more about that. Not that you won't be able to do it, just we sort of need to put that in there. We'll probably do. And then any trees, any old trees, just so we have a better sense of how it's going to be.
Four trees removed from the lot.
Four trees.
There's already a building site that's been created on the lot.
Oh, really?
Pretty much staying in there. And then
in that little envelope.
Yeah.
And then the garage, I mean, if you have any thoughts about that, too.
Not at this point. We'll approach that later.
Yeah.
It's not part of this proposal.
And paving for the driveway.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion. Right now, all I've got specced in there is a gravel driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up for discussion, I guess.
That's pretty good. But gravel is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably what I've been thinking. Just
And I want to make a 12 pitch roof, huh?
It's a 10 now. Most historic caves are 8s, 8 to 10s. Mm-hmm. 12 is more of a turn of the century pattern.
12 is pretty standard, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the beautiful little white cape that the Colorulis used to wear.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the
right.
That's,
I don't think that's a.
That's. Oh, yeah, I think it is. It's pretty steep.
I haven't had it on my phone.
What is a ranch roof? That's pretty shallow.
Shallow.
Before,
yeah. Yeah, all appearances will be really. Obviously got several different roofs on there, so, and they're all going to be 10 pitch. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, I've got also guidance on the door. Is that wood, or they make some materials that look like wood that, again, looking at an energy efficiency thing. I don't think that's what those completely address in there.
Well, in terms of materials, we will look at, according to our guidelines, this is on totally new buildings, not additions on historic buildings, but if it's a totally new building, some of these composite materials, other non-historic, as long as the appearance has a historical appearance, that vinyl, aluminum siding, and trim materials that are vinyl, you're not contemplating any of that.
All trim, all siding and trim is wood.
Yeah.
And if we have a preference for color right now, well, does that come up?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We don't do color.
Some historic districts do. Yeah.
Very few. Just don't paint it purple.
I've built stuff in the east side, so it's... It can be an issue.
So, and I think we probably want to see dimensionally how this compares to a cave. You know, if it's 40, is it 40 feet or 40 something feet?
It's 46 across the front.
Yeah.
40 in the back.
So, what would be kind of neat when you present it?
Just going to say, so for the purposes of our meeting, I know we're going to probably have continued kind of small conversation about guidance for you.
Yeah.
But for the purpose of us today.
Yeah.
We will call the meeting closed.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. To move on logistically through
we're
our
meeting. Perfect.
Great.